So today we are going to be celebrating communion, the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. And I was reminded this week, because I've said it several times, that we're going to share this Last Supper with Jesus, but the truth is he's not going to celebrate it with us again until, and we'll be talking about that this morning, until that supper that we eat with him in heaven. Good news. Something to look forward to. So the service will be a little bit different this morning. There is no sermon listed because it's going to all be about the communion and a little pre-sermon before and a little post-sermon after our communion together. Hopefully time-wise it'll work out okay. That's what I was most concerned about this morning. If we did the communion with the object lessons which are here, it's not going to be different, don't worry, but these are object lessons for the four glasses of wine celebrated at the Passover. And we'll go through them together, hopefully to give some meaning. In our morning prayers this morning, we will be working from John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer. I'll introduce that again at that time so you can follow along if you wish to. The announcements for this week, Sunday school today, we're going to finally, Lord willing, get back to the legacy and the impact of Patrick in Ireland and what is called the first apostolic mission after the apostles. So about 500 years approximately after the apostles, this was the first historic recorded apostolic mission after that time. So we'll get back to that this morning. Church council is on Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock, 6:30. Thank you. I forgot to put the time in there. And then if you're interested, the Championing Hope Gala for Youth for Christ is on Friday evening from 5 to 8. If you haven't got your tickets yet and you still want to go, see me, because there's a little QR code. Yes, Roger? Thursday evening. Okay, thank you. All right. Correction. There's a QR code that all you have to do is scan, and it'll lead you right to purchasing the tickets for that evening. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and we will be taking some time to experience, Lord willing, experience the emotions and the thoughts of believers and non-believers and believers who left to be non-believers because of the impact of Palm Sunday. So we'll be looking at choices. And a final reminder, if you want plants for Easter Sunday, if you would please bring them to us by Saturday. And then at the very, very bottom of all the announcements, I just found out about this, so I thought I'd throw it in there. If you like music and you like concerts, there is the Jesus Music Tour concert on Friday, April 25th at the Deck in Duluth, sponsored by K-Love and World Vision. So if you're interested in taking advantage of that, and we don't have another 10-inch snowstorm, you can check that out as well. So I visited Roger this week, and he showed me that they have a schedule for activities up at Edgewood. And so on Monday, Thursday, they have at 10:30 a worship service with Pastor Felix, followed by 2 o'clock music, happy hour and music concert by Highway to Heaven. Now, I've never heard of this group at all, but I thought Highway to Heaven, that's a good name. So hopefully they live up to their name. And then on Good Friday, they have some peep wars and some Easter egg coloring and stuff like that. And I noticed no bunnies mentioned, just all eggs. And then on Saturday, an Easter egg hunt. And then on Sunday, they have 2 church services, followed by, in the afternoon, a social with an Easter match word game. And I thought that would be kind of cool as well. Roger was telling me they've just got all sorts of activities going on up there. What I really appreciate is seeing all of the Christian activities that they schedule in. That's just good to see in living settings like that. It's all available to you. If you would stand with me and let's read together the call to worship. This is not from the Psalms this time. This is from Paul's writing to the Ephesians in chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing.
For he chose us from the foundation of the world. In love he predestined us to adoption through Jesus Christ.
According to the pleasure of his own will.
Until the redemption of those who are God's possession.
To the praise of his glory.
And hymn number 551. All the hymns are related to communion today. Holy Father, Most High God, we gather together to honor and glorify the only true God, Jehovah, God of Israel, and we are happy to say, our God. We honor you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, and in the presence and influence of your Holy Spirit, as we gather to worship you, to learn from your word, and to honor you in the banquet that your Son set up for us to remember him. We once again join our hearts with all true believers throughout the world that our praises may be lifted up to you as a thunderous sound of praise and glory to you on your throne forever and ever. And we covenant with you that we will glorify you forever. That is our choice. And we know that you will be glorified forever. We honor you through your Son and that name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated in preparation for hearing the Word of God.
Our first scripture today is the whole chapter of Psalms 27, found on page 416. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Oh, this is David writing this, by the way. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. And our next reading is from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 to 35 on page 797. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Time for our offerings and benevolence offering. And once again, if you want to give a benevolence offering, if you'd please mark that or use the envelopes that are in the pews for that purpose. Benevolence offering, once again, is to help out those who are in need throughout our community. We also, as a church, give to AEOA, and they have a fund set aside that churches and other individuals and organizations support for that same purpose. And so we are not supplanting that, but adding to it with an opportunity from our church to give in the name of Jesus to the poor and needy, and anyone who is in need at a special time. So I'd ask the ushers to come forward at this time. Thank you. Let's pray together. We give to you, O Lord, because we love you. We give to you because it is good to give to you and for your work. It's also good to give to the poor and needy, the widows and orphans. We are available for that, Father, to give and to help. Receive our gifts today in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Amen. Stand with me and let's sing our blessing to the Lord.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, in our morning prayer, I will be reading from John chapter 17. This is Jesus' high priestly prayer, and he was praying for us. So as we go through it, as I read it, I will pause for a time for us to agree with Jesus. If anybody's going to get an answer to prayer, it's going to be Jesus, right? So what he prays here is going to happen. John chapter 17, verse 6. I have revealed to you, revealed you to those to whom you gave me out of this world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Pray with me. Lord, we are yours. You have given us to your Son, Jesus, for care, and we thank you for finding us, for seeking us and finding us, and redeeming us through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Verse 7. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you. I pray for them. Jesus prays for us. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. If you would pray with me. Father, as your Son has mentioned, we know that we are still in the world. We would agree with the prayer of your Son. Father, protect us by the power of your name, the name that you have, Yahweh, the name of your Son, Jesus, Yeshua. Cause us, as your Son asked you, cause us to be one, even as you, Father, Son, and Spirit, are one. Verse 12, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Pray with me. Father, we would agree with your Son, his request, that you would give us your joy in full measure as we continue to walk our earthly lives. We would agree with the request of your Son that you would carry us through, completed, to seeing you and your Son Jesus in heaven. We thank you that it is his request, and it is your blessing and goodness that can get us across the finish line. Continuing on in verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Pray with me. We agree, Father, with the request of your Son, knowing that we remain in this world at least for a season. We agree with your Son that what we need is protection from the evil one. And so we would agree with his request and ask that you would protect us from the evil one. Amen. Verse 16, they are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Pray with me. Father, once again, we agree with the request of your Son that we be sanctified by his work. Even as we celebrate that sanctification through the communion that we will be celebrating today, we thank you for your sanctification given to us as a gift through Jesus. Amen. Verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. And that covers us, doesn't it? We believe in Jesus through their message. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Once again, pray with me. Your Son has asked, Father, that you're working through us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that the world might believe in you, and that the world might believe that you sent your Son, Jesus. We would now agree with the request of your Son, Jesus, that you would work through us so that the world might know you and your Son, Jesus. We give you the freedom to work in and through our lives to bring that result. And we will honor you and glorify you. And we have to say, Father, we are happy when we see those opportunities to share you with people in this world. We thank you for the privilege that you have given to us of being bought by the blood of Jesus. In his name, amen. If you turn in your hymnals to hymn number 560, we will sing verses 1, 3, and 5.
Thank you.
Churches celebrate communion in a variety of ways. Some celebrate communion weekly. Some celebrate communion quarterly. We have chosen to celebrate communion monthly. There are some churches that celebrate communion maybe only once or twice in the whole year. I'm not sure any of those have a precedent. We're just told that when we do it, we remember. So if you came this morning to celebrate communion, it's the wrong motive. But if you came to celebrate communion to remember Jesus, that's the right motive. That's what he told us to do. This isn't a tradition. It isn't a formality. It's an opportunity for us to remember Jesus. The records of archaeology have determined that the early Christians in the first few centuries celebrated communion every time they got together. Now, it wasn't in a room like this. It was in a small room like maybe one of our Sunday school rooms. They didn't have chairs, and so they sat around the walls, like in a circle or a square, whatever that cave or wherever they were meeting was. They would sit around the walls and lean against the walls for support. And so the only furniture in the room was right in the center of the room. And it was a table of some kind. Sometimes it was just a rock. Sometimes it was what we would consider to be a table. And in the center of the room was the communion elements, the bread and the wine. And so I brought a bottle for demonstration. Of course, they didn't have labels back then, but they would have bought probably a earthen jar of wine, and someone would have baked bread. And it wasn't a loaf that we are familiar with. It was unleavened bread, so it looked more like a flat tortilla. And it was hard. It wasn't soft. And that would be in the center of the room. And so every time they got together, and it could be any time that the group of believers, handful of believers, got together, that's what would be in the center, and they would celebrate. And so reading from Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 14. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." There were four cups at the Passover meal, as well as a meal, a time, we won't take this time, but in the middle of the Passover, they would stop and eat and fellowship, and then continue with the Passover after that. The first cup of the Passover is the cup of sanctification. As they began the Passover celebration, the first thing, and we would know this as believers, the first thing you need to do is get right with the Lord. And so they would share this cup, and while they share this cup, they would get their hearts right with the Lord, reorient themselves to the Lord, ask forgiveness and purification. For us, we declare, they declare deliverance from Egypt because they knew they were going to leave Egypt. For us, it's declaring deliverance from the world. We have, as we read in John 17, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We've been delivered from the world. We declare that Jesus is the Lord of Lords. We declare that Jesus is the King of Kings. We declare that Jesus is the only true Redeemer, the only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. We declare that Jesus is the only way to salvation. We declare that He is the Messiah. For the Jews, by the time they take that first cup, the Passover lamb has been slain, it's been cooked, and they're prepared to eat that meal during this time of the four cups. The atoning blood has been applied over the doorways of those who are believers. And the meal is ready to be served. The second cup is the cup of deliverance. For the nation of Israel, that this cup means we have been made right with God, and God is now going to deliver us from the hands of the Egyptians. And again, for us, this means our deliverance, and we'll get to some details of that in a moment. Our deliverance, of course, is today. We are delivered from sin. We are in the body of Christ. And Luke tells us, and this is a little tricky, because we kind of, for most of our communion services, we compact all four cups of wine into one. But Luke tells us, after this second cup, in verses 17 and 18, after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." For them, Egypt is over, even though they haven't left yet on the first Passover. Egypt is over, and what they see ahead is the promised land. And I know they kind of messed it up after that. But what they saw at the Passover and all of those miracles against the nation of Israel, what the Jewish people saw was the promised land ahead. Finally, we are going to get to the promised land. Do you feel like that sometime? Finally, we are going to get to the promised land. For us as believers, this applies to what the Bible calls the called out ones. The called out ones is a literal interpretation of the word ecclesia, which we call the church. And of course, the church isn't a building. It isn't even us gathering together. The church is all believers everywhere, whatever name or label that you come from. When I visited Roger, it was just so nice to hear believers talking about, "Oh, there's a believer down the hall." Roger pointed out, "There's a believer down the hall." No labels. Nobody talked about whether they were Lutherans or Catholics or Covenant, which nobody has heard of. But they talked about the fact that they were believers. The spiritual Israel, the kingdom of Jesus, that's the people everywhere who are believers. We are the kingdom of Jesus and, of course, the kingdom of God himself. The scriptures say we are a holy nation, a kingdom of priests unto our God. Now the Seder meal, or the Passover, proceeds. And so there is a time of eating and fellowship. And at this time, in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, and he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So it's at this time, in the middle of the Passover, we celebrate communion. Roger, would you come forward and help? And let's pray together. We pause, Lord Jesus, to remember you. We pause to remember that you sacrificed your body to the Roman soldiers. You sacrificed your body to the cross. You sacrificed your body to death for us. Thank you for your sacrifice for us. We choose, because of your sacrifice, to sacrifice ourselves to you, our spiritual service of worship. Jesus broke the bread and he said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." The third cup at the Passover meal. The cup of redemption. Isn't that appropriate? At the Passover, they celebrated redemption. And I was reminded, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. Free from sin, free from the world. Free to be in love with Jesus. Free to worship God. That's redemption. And so, continuing in Luke chapter 22, verse 20. In the same way, after the cup, he took the cup. After the supper, he took the cup and he said, This cup is the new covenant. And remember, we covered that. The New Testament, the last will and testament of Jesus, not a covenant, not an agreement like we think of. No, at his death, this is the gift to anyone who wants to believe in Jesus. This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. This cup is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. We know that the blood of Jesus, that sacrifice is what bought us forgiveness of sins, what bought us redemption. That's what Jesus was talking about. This blood, this cup is the blood of the new covenant. The new covenant. We who have chosen Jesus, we are in that new covenant, that new testament, the gift of God to us, salvation. Take and drink. Thank you. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this spiritual refreshment. Thank you for the opportunity to remember you, always to remember you. And we thank you for the privilege, our Lord, of being together as a group of believers to celebrate as they did in New Testament times, with you at the center of our meeting, you at the center of our lives. We honor you, give you praise, glory, honor, dominion, wealth, majesty. Our Savior, Jesus, our Savior, Jesus, we can't thank you enough. But we thank you in your name, that precious, holy, wonderful name that sets people free. The name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Shirley. We're not done with the Passover. We have one more cup. The last cup of the Passover meal is the cup of praise. Makes sense, right? After going through the sanctification and the redemption, what are you going to do? You're going to praise this God who is setting you free. For the nation of Israel, as they met for that first Passover, that last cup was thank God, the promise to deliver us from our bondage is finally here. For us as believers, our last cup of praise is to praise this God who has wonderfully loved people so much that he sent his Son so that anyone could choose to be a believer. The cup of praise, and we don't do this, but the cup of praise was accompanied by singing. We don't usually sing and drink at the same time. We usually separate them. But what they did during that time is they just all had a fellowship time of singing praise to God, and while they were singing, they would pass the cup around so that not only would they sing praise, they would celebrate the cup of praise. And of course, what they were celebrating is the deliverance from Egypt. After that first Passover, when they were in the wilderness and again in the promised land, they were reminded by the cup of praise, the deliverance from Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, the miracle there. They even celebrated, which is kind of funny in a way, they even celebrated the 40 years in the wilderness because God took care of them in the 40 years in the wilderness, providing manna and water. In the Passover, they celebrated the crossing of the River Jordan. In the Passover, they celebrated the conquering of the promised land, even though they didn't fully obey, they didn't fully conquer the promised land. But they celebrated all the miracles of God. Isn't it interesting that celebrating all of that in the Passover once a year, that by the time Jesus came, they had drifted away, their hearts had drifted away, their minds had forgotten all of the miracles God had done for them, for the nation of Israel. And as was read to us in the scriptures today, Jesus' heart was just burdened. Why had they left? I think we're kind of living in that day as well, seeing so many people who have left the church and some who have indeed left the Lord. As recorded in Matthew chapter 26 and in Mark chapter 14, this fourth cup, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and that completed the Passover meal for them, that final hymn. We'll get to that hymn in just a minute. But before we get there, I want to highlight a couple of the incredible things out of the Passover. And the first is from Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 through 14, selected verses. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. Recalling back to what Jesus said, I will not eat or drink of this again until we eat and drink in the kingdom of God. He prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his leisure, one to his business. So the king said to his servants, go out to the streets and invite anyone you can find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people that they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. In Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 35, be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning like servants waiting for their master to return. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve. He will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good when those servants who the master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. That astounds me, that he will serve us. Revelation 19, we can't finish talking about the wedding feast until we get to the book of Revelation. Revelation 19, verses 6 through 10. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, which is the righteous acts of God's holy people, was given her to wear. Then the angel said to me, write this down. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added this, these are the true words of God. And how do you get to the wedding supper of the Lamb? You know, I'm really glad that God remembers. And he has a special way of remembering. I'd like to read from Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, if I can find it here, my bifocals. Revelation 3, verse 5. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And then finally in Revelation verse chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and each person was judged according to what they had done. another book was opened, which is the book of life. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. God remembers. God has our names written in the book of life. At that time, he's going to open that book or that scroll, and he's going to find our names written there. Anyone who has surrendered their life to honor the Holy God and the Holy Son, Jesus. I am glad that God has a good memory. It's interesting to me that in addition to his memory, he writes it down. Our names. Our names written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm glad that God remembers his covenant with us. I'm glad that God remembers the goodness that he wants to pour out on us. I'm glad that God remembers how to love us. Aren't you? Those times that we kind of mess up, I'm glad he still remembers to love me, pull me back in, keep me going, keep me encouraged, keep me on the path. I'm also glad that God remembers to forget. He remembers to forget our sins. He remembers to forget our transgressions. As far as the east is from the west. What an amazing memory God has that allows him to remember the right stuff and forget the bad stuff. Let's close with hymn number 569. How wonderful it is. Blessing to one another.